This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here along with you. 22q is a chromosomal abnormality that can cause a wide range of health and developmental issues, including heart defects, breathing issues, slow growth, as well as autism, developmental delays, or learning disabilities. Dr. Robert LaBelle is the medical director of the 22q deletion program, which is a partnership of Upstate Medical University with Syracuse University, which provides a comprehensive package of services for children with 22q. And he's here with us today to tell us all about it. Welcome, Dr. LaBelle. Thanks for coming in today.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So let's begin by helping us understand a little bit more about this entity, 22q. What is it and who's affected?
Well, it's a deletion, meaning a part of a chromosome has been lost. Chromosome number 22 is the next to the shortest of all of the human chromosomes, and has a short arm, which is very tiny, and a long arm, which is still not all that big. But a piece of that long arm is missing at a position called 1-1. So it's 22q11 is the area that is missing a part of the genetic material. And when that material is lost, a number of genes are lost with it. Then the person has only one copy of those genes, the copy on the chromosome that is still in its ordinary state of affairs. And then loss of that genetic material, loss of those copies, leads to a wide variety, as you pointed out, of physical and behavioral problems.
It's also been, I've read that it's also been known by different names.
Yes. Dr. Sprinson is responsible for having identified the condition back in the 1970s, and Dr. DeGeorge also identified it under somewhat different circumstances. For a long time, people used those names to describe the condition, honoring the people who discovered it. But when the cause of the condition was found, namely the deletion of part of chromosome 22, we realized that it was all the same thing. Actually, Sprinson himself didn't call it after himself. He called it velocardiofacial syndrome.
Interesting.
So it had these three names. Then we figured out the underlying cause and realized that it was all one thing. So today we prefer to simply call it 22q deletion syndrome.
Well, how does that actually occur? You talk about the loss of a piece of a gene, a chromosome.
Yes, a piece of a
and
chromosome.
And genes along with it.
Correct.
How does it actually occur?
Well, it can occur because it happened in my great-great-great-grandfather, and it's been coming down through the family generation after generation.
So it runs, it can run in families.
Right. In that case, it behaves as what we call a dominant trait. Namely, if I have it, my child, male or female, has 50% chance of inheriting it. But it also can occur as a new event. The egg or the sperm that's producing a pregnancy can undergo an accident that causes the loss of a part of any chromosome, and then the pregnancy will start out with that material missing, or duplicated for that matter. So in that sense, it can be what you might think of as a new mutation. The word mutation is usually used for a change inside one gene. So this is much bigger than that when it's a loss of many genes. But it can occur as a new event, and in fact, that's not at all unusual.
How likely is it, you mentioned the 50%, if it's running in your family as a dominant trait, how likely, I mean, what's the incidence of this occurring within the general population?
Because of the high variability of the condition, we're not entirely sure of the population incidence. And so we talk in terms of one out of several thousand, which actually puts it in the league of some of the most common of all genetic disorders.
Like Down syndrome, for
example. Down syndrome is the most common of all genetic disorders, we believe, at about one out of 600 live births. Cystic fibrosis and sickle cell disease run in the 1 in 3,000 range. And 22q is probably coming into that league of high
frequency.
Incidence. For geneticists, something that's 1 out of 5,000 is common.
Yeah.
Most people think of that as rare, but that's... That's our common area.
But it's interesting. I read somewhere that even despite this prevalence, that many physicians are still not familiar with this diagnosis because of its extreme variability, because of all of the variety of features that can be or systems that can be affected. So tell us about that. Well, actually, is the prevalence or not the prevalence, the variability, does that affect a family's search, therefore, for what is the underlying cause of a child's variety of difficulties?
Yes, it does, because the sensitivity of the physician is going to vary, partly because of that physician's training and experience, but also because of the high variability of the condition. And a lot of physicians are going to look at an affected child or adult and just not get it. I recently failed to get it myself.
Really?
And saw a child with delays and a few dysmorphic features and did not think at all that this child had 22q deletion, but we knew that the child had major problems, so we ran a test that looks at all the chromosomes, and what we found was 22q deletion.
Wow.
And the genetic counselor and I looked at each other when we got the result and said, well, okay, but it's not what we had been thinking about.
So interesting. Well, I want to get to how you actually, you know, nail down the diagnosis, but tell us a little bit more about the variety of features, because as I alluded to in the introduction, it seems like it's vast, the variability of things that you can see.
Some of them are large enough and major enough that they're found prenatally by ultrasound during a pregnancy.
Like?
Like major heart defects and clefting of the lip and palate. And so our colleagues in the perinatal center, for example, here at SUNY Upstate, will, when they see heart defects, send a test for 22q deletion as part of their workup, or at least offer to send that test. Not everybody who's pregnant wants to have the amniocentesis that's required to get the sample. But they offer it immediately and talk about it immediately, that one of the causes of major heart defects would be this. Now, sometimes these aren't suspected prenatally, but they're seen right away in the nursery. The child has a cleft palate, the child has a heart murmur, they take a look with the echo, find a defect, and say, oh, gosh, that combination could be this, and the test is sent at 6 hours or 3 days of age as soon as they're tripping.
But those
to
are
it.
Fairly frank or very, very obvious kinds of defects.
Correct.
How about things like, I read there were things like immunization problems. So if a child is starting to have all kinds of infectious issues early on, could that be potentially a part of it?
Yes, immune deficiency is one of the problems. And is one of the ways that these children present is not a heart defect, not a cleft palate, and not yet a speech pattern that suggests insufficiency of the soft palate, but simply a one-year-old child who's having an awful lot of infectious problems. An infectious disease consultation takes place. The physician, the specialist says, this child has a deficiency in immune function, and it looks like the type that would be seen in 22q. Maybe we should check.
Interesting. And I think things like neurological findings obviously are more apparent when it has to do with growth and development. I mean, you can see things like they can't walk well, or they have difficulty in coordinating their movements, that kind of thing.
Well, not so much that. The developmental problems tend to be involving perhaps weaker than usual muscles in an infant, causing delays and milestones. And then there can be learning disabilities and delays of that kind. There also can be people who sail through childhood with none of those problems, but present as adults with psychoses. And schizophrenia is one of the long list of things that are features of 22q.
That's astounding to me. So
yes.
Given this incredibly wide range of potential difficulties with the loss of that deletion of that chromosome, how do you actually then make a diagnosis?
The usual way is a chromosome analysis that will sometimes actually show under the microscope the loss of this part of the chromosome. But that isn't always going to be visible to the eye under light microscopy. So the cytogenetics people have developed something called a fluorescent in situ hybridization test. They attach a fluorescent probe to a molecule that will stick to the 22Q11 region. And if they look under the microscope and see only one little light lighting up, that means the other number 22 has lost that region, because the probe isn't sticking to it.
So that's definitive.
And then that's how they find it. Now, sometimes the test that's needed is more sophisticated and has to go more deeply into the anatomy of the chromosomes.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's Health Link on Air. I'm here with Dr. Robert LaBelle, and we're talking about the chromosomal abnormality syndrome known as 22q deletion. Well, so let's get to kind of what you do. I mean, I understand that there's a program now. It's a fairly new program. Upstate has joined or partnered with Syracuse University. What are the kinds of things you're doing? Obviously, you need a multidisciplinary array of specialists to take care or to treat these types of children. So what's going on?
Yes. Well, children enter the program at a variety of different entry points depending on what their fundamental problem is that presents it. But once they enter, they see the geneticist, they see the cardiologist. Some of them, of course, need a cardiac surgeon as well. They see the immunologist. Some of them need an endocrinologist. Some of them need other people. They all see the ear, nose, and throat specialists. Those with clefts need surgeons for that and might need specialized dental care. They need speech evaluations and sometimes swallowing evaluations.
Feeding problems.
Because some of them present with feeding problems in infancy.
So you have actually put together a fairly comprehensive array of people who can actually not only diagnose but prescribe treatment protocol.
Yes, as long as you're using the word you in the plural, because it's not just me.
No,
We have a team that has been putting this together.
Well, that sounds incredibly exciting and hopeful, especially for people who may have a question as to whether someone they know, some child of theirs or someone they know might have this problem. And we're going to have a link on our website for how they can get in touch with this program.
Very good.
So I want to thank you so much for coming in. So far, are you looking, is this a hopeful enterprise so far?
Yes, our early experience with the first people coming through has been very good and hopeful, and we're optimistic that we're going to be doing a lot of good things here.
I'm sure it makes a lot of people in our region really feel very, very excited to know we have this level of care available for those kids.
And in fact, they're being invited from far away as well.
Unbelievable. Well, my guest has been Dr. Robert LaBelle. He is the medical director of the 22q deletion program, which is a partnership of Upstate Medical University and Syracuse University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.